Do you want to know the difference between Botox and dermal fillers? Do you want to know the difference between thread lifts and facelifts? Do you want to know the reasons some people choose to improve their appearance with aesthetic medicine? What makes our patients and our doctors tick? Hello, and welcome to Aesthetic Medicine Uncovered. My name is Simon Ravichandran, and in this series of podcasts, we will be talking about what aesthetic medicine actually is, the procedures that we offer, what we do, and why we do it. I hope you'll find it interesting, and I hope it answers some questions you may have. This podcast is produced by the Clinetics Group, Scotland's leading multi-award-winning aesthetic medical clinics.
Hi, happy Friday, Simon.
Happy Friday, Paula.
Where are we today? We are back in the studio after a long time.
It's been a very long time.
Yep. We were here a lot during lockdown, but I am back with Dr. Simon Ravichandran. I am Dr. Paula Mann, and we're going to do some more of these podcasts to really inform our patients, keep you up to date with what's going on in the clinic. And what we've decided to have a chat about today, Simon, is weight management.
Okay, great.
So I know that the patients are really excited about this introduction. And it's a drug. We're going to talk about this particular drug, which helps patients maintain their health through their weight management. So tell me a little bit about this this introduction, why we've brought it into the clinic.
Okay, well, we've always had an approach within our clinic so that we provide, you know, holistic care. And we're interested in the physical, the emotional, the social. Our goal is to improve quality of life in, you know, whatever way we can within, you know, whatever tools that we have in our clinic. And whilst there have been, you know, weight management, you know, protocols, weight management medicines, they've been around for quite a while. I think it's been difficult to integrate them into a practice like ours because they don't really fit within, you know, what our patients want, what our patients' expectations are. And there's been difficulties with diets and fads. You've seen them, you'll be aware of them on the internet where promises are made, but it's really difficult to meet those expectations of our patients. But recently there's been some developments in weight loss medicines that are very powerful and are very effective. And just like all of the others, they don't work independently. They won't work on their own. There's no magic pill. There's no magic bullet. But the new generation of weight loss medicines that we have now and the ones that are developing are ones that are effective enough. They're very effective. They're more than effective enough. And they can really work with a whole program of nutritional assessment, dietary advice, cognitive behavioral therapy, counseling to approach the whole issue and get some very, very positive results from our patients.
Yeah, and you just briefly touched on something there about the amount of, in inverted commas, stuff that is out there. You know, there's a really overwhelming amount of quick fixes that sound too good to be true. So this drug that is used for weight management, we have three medical doctors in the clinic who you can make an appointment with and consult with if you want to find out more about it. But in the process of introducing it to the clinic, I personally have learned a lot about it. And just as a sort of aside, one of the things that I found really interesting about it was that as humans, over the 300,000 or so years we've been on this earth, we have not evolved a defence to being overweight, which just seems like a real evolutionary blip because it's so unhealthy to be overweight. It's not just cardiovascular, it's cancer, it's dementia. So what's wrong with us?
It's really quite interesting, isn't it? Everything, for the survival of our species, we've developed to eat as much as possible because for the entirety of our evolution, there's been a calorie scarcity. There's been not enough calories, not enough food. So we are designed to eat all the time as much as possible. There are obviously, you know, there's limitations on that because you can make yourself acutely unwell if you overeat. But generally speaking, eating more is good because there's just, you know, we traditionally would never have known the next time when we were going to have a meal. And that's obviously changed with farming, agriculture, the Industrial Revolution, and now with the food revolutions that have resulted in these ultra-processed, high-calorie, high-fat, high-carbohydrate diets that's so easy and so accessible for everyone. We're getting in far too many calories, essentially, and it's very easy to get those calories in, and we don't have these physiological mechanisms to stop that happening to us. So, of course, it's having a detrimental effect on our health. You mentioned, you know, dementia, diabetes, cardiovascular risk factors, all these things. There's very few disease processes that affect human beings that are not adversely affected by being overweight.
So, firstly, tell me the names of these drugs that we're talking about, and tell me the actual drug that's doing all the work.
Okay, so you know, traditionally, I think there's lots of different classes of drugs, and I think it's important to state that, you know, one drug might not be the right drug for a patient, and in quite a lot of patients, actually, a drug is not necessarily the right answer. Sometimes the process is advice and behavioral therapy and encouragement and support. When that does the job, then that's absolutely fine. If we need to do a little bit more than that, then maybe that's the time to introduce a medical weight management program. And there's drugs that we've used historically that can reduce the absorption of calories. So you could eat everything, but you're not actually absorbing quite so much as before. But the new generation of drugs we've got, they're called GLP analogs, that's glucagon-like peptide. These are medicines that, in a variety of different methods and pathways, will suppress your appetite. So you will feel less hungry. They won't starve you. You'll still feel hunger when it's time for a meal, but most patients will find that you'll feel sated, so you'll feel full much earlier on in the course of the meal than you might otherwise have done.
Okay, so if I took this drug, would I need to adapt what I eat on a daily basis deliberately, or should I just let the drug do everything for me?
Yeah, this is a potential pitfall for a lot of patients who don't get the appropriate counselling. If you have a bad diet, if you have a high-fat, calorie-rich diet, you really need to address the diet itself as well as part of the process. Everyone, regardless, should have a healthy, balanced diet. The right amount of fats, the right amount of carbohydrates, the right amounts of vitamins and minerals. So as part of the counselling process, the consultation process, we'll discuss what constitutes a healthy, balanced diet. If that already suits you, if that's already what you're doing, then that's great. Then we can start taking the medicine, if that's appropriate for a given patient, and start seeing that, well, you're still eating the right things, just eating less of them. But sometimes we actually have to address the diet itself. And in today's society, with the, you know, I mentioned before, easy access to all these high calorie, ultra processed foods, we kind of get this addiction to the chocolates or the bags of crisps or whatever it might be. And we have this snacking behavior. Now, if we feel a little bit hungry and we want to reach for a snack, the usual thing for us to do in modern society is to reach for a very, very high calorie snack, like a bag of crisps. I use crisps a lot, that's my personal snack. But what we need to do is really help motivate people alongside the actual drug, but motivate people to change their emotional relationship with food. So I would tell someone that it's absolutely fine to reach for a snack. Snack as much as you want if you need to whilst you're going through the weight loss program. But instead of reaching for that bag of crisps or that chocolate bar, go for a healthier option. Go for a low-calorie option. Reach for an apple. Reach for a banana. Something like that. So it's kind of an approach from more than one angle to get the actual end result.
So that's really good to know, because this sounds like a drug that already works within a system that exists in your body, a system that's there to control what you eat and tell your body when you should be eating. It just modifies that, but also with the support from the clinic and the support from the doctors, it encourages healthy eating and a long-term healthy lifestyle.
That's right. We've all got a basic weight, and you know, it's a basal weight that your body has become programmed to be through your upbringing, through your diet, and that's the weight we're kind of fixed at. Now, if you were to lose weight rapidly, as you can easily do with a calorie restricted diet, most people who do that will find they put the weight back on very, very quickly as soon as they stop the diet. So calorie restriction is very, very important, and the medicines that we use help with the calorie restriction. Exercise is very important because we're going to be burning off the calories at the same time, so we can reduce the calories and increase the calorie expenditure. And it's all about net calories in, net calories out. But we still need to get ourselves into a state where we can reduce our weight and then maintain that. So sometimes the maintenance will require medical therapy to help that along. This is the current theory. We'll get you to a basal weight, and then the medical therapy might be required to maintain that medical weight for a period of time. But the goal is that over a period of time, what we would like to see is a change in our relationship with food, a change in our behavior, which would allow us to maintain that weight without medical support.
And that's much easier, A, with support, but B, with a drug that is easy to take, it's well tolerated, and you see results quickly. You know, that's really encouraging in itself. So tell me about the nitty-gritty. How do you take this drug?
All right, let's talk about the drug in question. So it's called semaglutide. It's a GLP analog. Comes in two forms that are commercially licensed in the UK at the moment. One is called Ozempic, which is licensed for the treatment of diabetes, and one is called Wegovy, which is licensed for the management of obesity. They're both exactly the same drug, technically, they're just in different pens and different dispensers.
And they've been around a while, haven't they?
They have been around for a while now, yeah. And they've been used very, very successfully in North America. So they've gone through all the trials, they have been used, they are safe drugs, but every drug has an element of side effects and risks, so we need to discuss those in great detail with every single patient. But we'll cover the basics of it now. But in terms of administration of this drug, this semaglutide has the advantage over the previous GLP analogs of being a once weekly injection. So it's a self-administered injection with an injecting pen device, very, very similar to the insulin injecting devices that a lot of patients who are on diabetes would use. So it's simple to use, very easy, it's completely painless. And you just have to do that once a week. So that helps with the compliance issue. It's hard to get people to take a tablet five times a day. It's hard to get people to self-administer an injection once a day. It gets a lot easier to comply and stick with the treatment plan if it's a simple once weekly dose. It's very important that we discuss the potential risks and side effects. A lot of people will suffer side effects with Wegovy or with Ozempic, but fortunately, most of the side effects are pretty mild, pretty self-limiting. So you can get things like nausea, abdominal pain, discomfort, constipation, lightheadedness and dizziness. And maybe 1 in 10 patients, or up to 1 in 10 patients, will suffer from something, a mild form of this. And then we get more severe side effects, which are less and less likely going on, up to things like pancreatitis and gallstones, which are much rarer, but much more serious. So anyone starting a program of semaglutide or any new medication really needs to be aware of these risks and needs to be aware of what to watch out for in themselves physiologically, so they can report back to their doctor as soon as they have any symptoms, so we can discuss and see whether or not that is a side effect, whether it's something else, whether we discontinue the drug. The studies have shown that the most effective results in terms of weight loss and health improvement, as well as managing side effect profile, is when we start at a low dose and titrate up. And titrating up means you start at low dose the next month. If you don't have any side effects or they're manageable, you can increase the dose, and a month later you can increase the dose. And there's about 5 steps where you can, over 5 months, go from the minimal dose to the maximum dose with Wegovy. And that really manages the side effect profile.
And it sounds like, with everything else, as with everything else in Clinetics, this is a really individual plan, you know? So for patients who know family members that might take this and friends that might take this, forget it. Come in, speak to us, and get a really, really bespoke plan.
The appropriate weight management plan is appropriate for a given patient. It's very, very individual. We need to discuss their lifestyle, their choices, their expectations, what they hope to gain from it, and what their appetite for treatment is, whether or not they're going to comply, whether or not they can do it long term. So all of these things really need to be discussed before we decide on the appropriate weight loss plan. And for some patients, it's not medically assisted. It's a combination of advice to reduce the calorie intake and advice to get the right amount of exercise and constant monitoring to monitor these behaviors in regular weigh-ins to make sure that we're getting off some weight and losing it. And that can be effective in the right sort of patient. So not a miracle drug, not a miracle pen. It's not gonna be the right thing for everyone, but it can be very effective in the right patient.
Yeah. One last question. What happens when you stop taking it?
When you stop taking semaglutide, the studies have demonstrated an increase in weight. So we can get the weight off, we can maintain it for a period of time. When you stop using it, you will put the weight on. The amount of weight that you put back on is going to be determined by a number of factors. Two main factors. One is how long you've been on that drug. Two is how motivated you are. So if you stop taking the drug very early, and this is what, you know, I kind of don't recommend we do this. People will want to take a high dose of the medication for 3 months or so to lose weight for a wedding or an event. I don't think it's a good idea. You'll lose the weight. You've got a very, very high chance of just putting it on very, very quickly afterwards. But if you gradually lose the weight over a long period of time and manage to change your behavior with regards to food and exercise, you've got a much higher chance of keeping that weight off and only putting a little bit of weight back on.
It's generally such an interesting topic, isn't it? And there's a lot out there on it. So I think, as always, when we conclude these conversations, it's about encouraging people to come in and speak to us, get the information, and then decide if that's something for you.
Absolutely. We've got three doctors here, all of whom are very well versed in weight management, very well versed in the medicines that we use, and can give you the advice and support that you may need to get you started and maintain you on your weight loss and health improvement journey.
Thank you very much, Simon. It was good to see you. Good to speak to you today.
Thank you,
Paula. Speak to you again soon.
Speak soon.